Hey friends, it's Elena.
And it's Candace.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime.
Happy Thursday.
Yeah. We finally got back to Thursdays, huh?
I know, we did.
Let's see if we can keep this up.
It's just a better vibe on a Thursday because you're like excited for Friday, excited for the weekend. Better than Monday, yeah. Totally.
Yeah, I like the way you think.
Yeah. You got any fun plans this weekend?
Well, it is Christmas weekend.
Oh my gosh. What will you be doing? I didn't even realize it. Oh my gosh, what an idiot.
Well, you've been in your own little world with some sick leaves.
I knew Christmas was coming up at some point, but yeah, things have been nuts over here, so.
I'll let it slide this time. How can you forget the birth of Jesus?
I asked you what your plans were. Oh my gosh. Well, okay. So you've got plans this weekend, and I guess I do too. Because I think that we are celebrating Christmas as well, and I'll be cooking all day, so...
Hopefully the girls won't be vomiting while y'all are opening presents.
Well, they're not going to be able to have any Christmas dinner because their stomachs can't handle it.
Mushy.
Yeah. So Merry Christmas, everybody. And I guess by the time you listen to this, we'll be after Christmas. So Happy New Year.
Yes, hope you're staying warm because it is 12 degrees here in Fort Worth, Texas.
That is crazy.
Yeah. Oof. We had a little bit of flow snurries.
Thursday is a better vibe.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Okay, snow flurries. I got to get myself together before I start this case.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm excited to hear about this one that you've got.
Yeah. Well, today we're talking about Sonia Blount.
Oh.
She is from Ireland.
Oh, Ireland?
Yes. She was 31, and she had a 3-year-old son named Jake. She absolutely loved and spoiled him. She was the oldest of her siblings, and the relationship that she had with her son's father was said to be abusive and on and off. Ultimately, they ended the relationship, and he moved out of the country.
Oh, good. Bye.
Yeah, so I did find his name in one report, but I wasn't going to broadcast it just out of respect. Yeah. So she shortly dated a guy named Eric Locke. They both worked at a company called Henkel. I think it was a glue company. Oh. Eric, he suffered with depression, and Sonia did not want that kind of emotional instability in her life.
Fair enough.
She saw warning signs from the, you know, from the previous relationship. She knew that's not what she wanted to deal with. Anyway, so... even with this rough go on life, she began dating, trying to find Mr. Right.
Yeah.
This was in 2014. On Saturday, February 15th of 2014, Sonia celebrated Jake's 3rd birthday with family and friends.
Aww.
It was a Toy Story theme. And it was a day filled with smiles from everyone. She told her sister that she had plans to meet up with a girlfriend that evening after the birthday party. Sonia dropped Jake off at his nanny's house, and I'm not sure if nanny means like a babysitter or a grandmother. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I don't think that's very important, but anyway, she dropped him off at the nanny's house, and then she went home and began getting ready for her night out with her friend. However, she ended up canceling with her friend. She told her that she was just going to stay home. She wasn't going to go out. Huh. So the next morning on February 16th of 2014, Sonia, she didn't show up to pick up Jake from the nanny's house.
Oh, no.
She would usually call first thing in the morning to check on Jake, but she hadn't even called.
Right.
The family started calling around to see if anyone had heard from her, and no one had. I'm assuming they went to her house, didn't find her. Sonia's family knew something was wrong, and her dad, he just went out and started driving and looking for her.
I mean, what else are you going to do?
Yeah. So, as they're in their search, her sister and brother had heard on the radio or on a news report that a body had been found at the Plaza Hotel in Tallaght, South Dublin, Ireland. Sonia's dad drove there, and as he entered the parking lot, he saw Sonia's car.
Oh my gosh.
He said he couldn't see the tags of the car, but he just knew it was her car.
Oh gosh.
When he went to talk to an investigator, they asked him to describe any tattoos that she had, and this did help confirm that the body was Sonia's body. So how did she end up from staying in at home to
the plaza
being found at this hotel? So Susan Kelly, the friend that Sonia canceled with the night before, told investigators that when Sonia canceled, she knew she wasn't going to stay home. She just had a feeling that she was really going to meet up with the man. What we know now is that Sonia drove to the Plaza Hotel that night. She also did not check out of her room at checkout time, which was 3 p.m. So after 3 p.m. checkout time, the hotel maids had gone to her room to do the housekeeping. And when they walked into the room, they found her lifeless body. Cable ties and tape were found in the room, but her hands or her legs were not bound.
Huh.
So upon investigation, they established that Sonia checked into the hotel on her own shortly before 9 p.m. on February 15th.
Huh.
A male who was known to the victim collected a key card from the reception desk more than an hour later and made his way to the room. Jake's father arrived back to the area when he learned of Sonia's murder. He told investigators that Sonia had been dating Eric Locke. So they had, I guess, friends and family also had mentioned Eric. So they set out to question Eric. When reviewing her social media, they found that she had been talking to a man named Shane Culley on Facebook. So their messages started out friendly and turned into flirting. It was clear that they had never met in person, but she decided to do something that she had seemingly never done before, and she arranged to meet Shane at the Plaza Hotel in Tallaght. Family and friends say that this was something that was very out of character for Sonia.
Did they know that because he had to give his name to get the key card?
They know that from the messages on Facebook.
Right.
And friends had, she had told a friend, I'm assuming it was the Susan Kelly, that Sonia had talked about this Shane Culley that she was talking to, but she didn't tell anybody she was going to meet up with him. Well, the Gardaí, the Irish police, they didn't have to wait long. Eric Locke, he ended up turning himself in.
Oh?
And he confessed.
To murdering her?
So during his confession, he says, he told the story of what happened during the night. He arrived at the hotel, and he stopped at the reception desk and asked for the key card. He went to the room and walked in. Sonia saw him come through the door. She expected to see Shane Colley, but it was Eric's face that she saw standing there. She got a shock. It was me, he said. I'm sorry if that was offensive. Okay, that's the only time I'll do that.
If you're in Ireland, write us. Carry on.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I'm just going to apologize now. So she was shocked. He brought into the room a gun, which was fake. It looked like a pellet. It was a type of pellet gun. He brought the cable ties, masking tape, and a Stanley blade.
What?
He told her he just wanted to talk and he wanted to know why she ended things and cut contact. He said that she didn't ask him to leave, but she said, let's leave together.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. And it came out later. I mean, investigators quickly realized that he was a pathological liar. Yeah. Like, even though he came in and confessed, he changed his story a few times. But anyway, he knew if they left together that once she got to the reception desk that she would scream or, you know, ask for help. So he decided just to keep her in the room. He laid everything out and that he brought onto the bed. He said she was terrified and frantic. They got into a fight, and he began to strangle her with his hands. Yeah. Investigators asked what happened when he started strangling her, and he pointed to the scratches on his face, like she fought back. Yeah. This is what happened. And she said to him in a low voice, Eric, what are you doing? He did have injuries to his face, his knees, his hand, his back, and one of his toes. So, initially he said he only used his hands to strangle her, but the investigators showed him a blood-stained phone charger, and that's when he admitted to using that as well. He put her top in her mouth, her shirt in her mouth, and he shoved it so far and forcefully that it was in her throat and her teeth were broken.
Oh my gosh.
She was breathing so heavy and loud that he thought someone would hear, he said. He left the hotel room at around 6 a.m. and he didn't think she was really dead when he left.
Okay.
He said they did have consensual sex.
Doubt it.
And he didn't intend for her to die. He just wanted to scare her.
But he brought all that stuff. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Before turning himself in, he told investigators that he had tried to commit suicide. I don't know why he told them that. Maybe he wanted them to feel sorry for him. Mm-hmm. So when Sonia broke up with him, he told her that he was going to kill himself. Like I said, he had a history of depression, so
yeah.
He started harassing her on text and Facebook, so she blocked him. I mentioned earlier that they worked together, and so she requested to change shifts so that she would have little to do with him at work. Come to find out, Eric had created the Shane Colley Facebook profile a year earlier.
No.
So from what I read, they ended things in January of 2014, and he murdered her in February of 2014. So, I mean, if he created the profile a year before...
They were dating at the time?
They didn't even date for long.
But it was see what it was like to talk to her and get close to her.
Or was it created for her specifically? Or was it to play around with other girls and, you know, catfish others?
Ew.
So what was he doing with it all this time? He had, on the profile, he had befriended dozens of people and posted fake photos and comments on his page. People posted happy birthday messages on the profile. So it looked as if he was a real person.
Yeah.
Sonia's friend told the court that Sonia had suspicion that Shane could be Eric. She even messaged Shane one day and asked him for a picture and said, I just want to make sure that you're not my mad ex.
Uh-oh.
Well, he sent a selfie and assured her that he wasn't, and he said, I'm sorry you had to go through all of that, as if to sympathize.
Right.
And she seemed satisfied with that. I mean, she obviously continued their flirting and planned to meet up with him. So text messages sent between the two of them, Eric and Sonia, from January 11th that year were brought to light. They had gone to a concert that night and got into a heated argument. I think this was like their third date. He began sending her text messages around 3:30 a.m. the following morning. So in these messages, he gives the reasons why he got so angry with her. She had gone out for a smoke break and she was gone for about 20 minutes. When he stepped out to find her outside smoking and talking to another man, he called her a slut and ended the date. And
wow.
Yeah.
Yikes. Third date.
He was mad. Yeah. And so that's when she knew she needed to end things with him.
Clearly.
For good. So he said she never told him that he was attractive, so he felt insecure. Sonia asked him to leave it alone. Just leave it alone for the night. It's in the middle of the night. I want to get some sleep. Yeah. And so text messages continued the next day. Eric promised he would never let anything like that happen again, and he could be a good person. He pleaded for another chance, and she pleaded for him to just stop and leave her alone. Eric texts Sonia the following morning, and he told her that he just walked off the job at the factory where they worked. Hmm. He asked her to meet up for coffee, and she said no, and voiced her concern about him leaving work. Eric then said that he was checking out, quote unquote, and that he just couldn't take it anymore, and I'm sorry. And she replied, "You're what?" And so then Sonia sent more texts throughout the day telling him that she was worried sick and asked him to let her know that he was okay. But he didn't reply until the next morning, stating that he was at a hotel with a rope.
Oh, my God.
And so this seems to be a thing, his thing, going to a hotel to do this type of thing. So he said, "I'm doing this now. I just want peace." However, Eric sent her another message just a few hours later saying he couldn't do it. He asked, "Can you meet me? I'm really on edge." And she asked him to get help and to not contact her again.
Wow.
Yeah. So Claire, Sonia's sister, said that about 3 weeks before she was murdered, Sonia had asked her to take care of Jake in case anything ever happened to
her. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So Jake is now living with Claire and her family, but friends also confirmed that Sonia was feeling that something bad could happen to her concerning Eric Locke.
That's so scary.
Yeah. It's sad that she's trying to get away and...
get away from nothing. It's not even like a relationship or anything.
Yeah, exactly. So in court, a letter was presented that was dated January 24th. This letter was addressed to Sonia and signed by Eric. It seemed to be a heartfelt apology. To summarize the letter, he basically said things just got wild and he didn't want to cause any more damage. The weight of the world must have been on her shoulders and he just got depressed. He talked about how he's 31 and isn't where he wants to be in life. He assured her that he was seeking counseling, and he expressed how he was disappointed that she didn't stand by him in his troubles.
Oh, get a life.
Mind you, like we just said, I mean, she just started the relationship with him. Mm-hmm. She told him, from the beginning, she told him she was just out of an abusive relationship and she didn't want anything serious and...
or dramatic.
And, yeah, so... and supposedly, they had only gone on 3 dates.
Jeez.
The last message from Sonia to Shane Coley, a.k.a. Eric, shortly before midnight was, "Are you close? I'm falling asleep here." The jury was shown CCTV footage of Eric entering the hotel just before midnight and heading towards the room, and footage of him leaving after 5 a.m. The taxi driver also identified him as the man that he picked up from the Plaza Hotel between 5:30 and 6 a.m. the morning that Sonia's body was found. So, I mean, even though he said he did it,
they have
there's still evidence. There's evidence. So, allegedly, she was naked as he killed her. They did have sex at one point, which he says was consensual. He dressed her after he strangled her and tidied up the room before he left.
Oh, well, thank you for that.
Yeah. He was never diagnosed with a mental disorder, but the court was provided with a new diagnosis of pervasive developmental disorder with signs of ADHD, autism, and Asperger's.
Okay.
Which the defense says that it shows that he had an inability to express empathy and diminished responsibility. Yeah. Eric denied murdering her, but did admit that he did cause her death. But it wasn't murder.
Okay, well.
The defense tried to convince the jury that Eric did not go to the hotel to intentionally kill Sonia, but that he panicked during their argument. However, the prosecution was able to prove that he planned the murder by showing that he set up a fake account, led Sonia to believe that he was someone else. He ensured that Sonia would leave the key card at the front for him so that she would not have seen him through the peephole.
To let him in.
To let him in, right.
Didn't think of that.
And how about all of the items that he brought to the murder scene? So he was found guilty and sentenced to life imprisonment.
And do you know what that is in Ireland? Is it actual life?
I don't. You know what? I didn't even look. I forget that it's different.
Yeah. Because like in the UK, it's not actually life.
Oh.
So I wonder what it is in Ireland.
Let me
look it up.
Yeah.
Okay. So according to Citizens Information, a life sentence is approximately 18 years in prison.
Whoa.
In Ireland.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah, thank you for looking that up. 18 years. I mean,
strange.
That's a whole amount of a child's life, I guess.
I know. I think it's odd that they do that. Like, I know the UK does the same thing. Anywho.
Well,
he gets life, but it's not really life.
Yeah. So he said he did say I'm sorry to the family a couple of times. However, they did not accept that it was genuine. Like, they just thought he was just saying it because he was in front of everybody and thought it would look good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really sad to me, like I said earlier, that she tried so hard to get away from him because she saw something in him that she didn't want to be a part of.
Right.
She saw the warning signs, and yet she made an error of judgment to meet a man for the first time at a hotel and not tell anyone where she was going.
Yeah.
So, I mean, with that being said, I just say, friends, please, if you're dating, don't go on a date without telling someone where you're going.
I wonder if she was, like, kind of embarrassed, like, she didn't want people to know that she was in yet another relationship, trying something else, and, you know, she didn't want, I don't know, I just wonder if she had some kind of shame, because abuse victims often do have, like, a shame.
And that's, yeah, that's possible. The sister did a report, and she said that it was the day after Valentine's Day, she just got out of the abusive relationship. She was just ended things with Eric, and she just thought she felt lonely and just wanted to do something that she thought was exciting or out of the norm. Mm. But I mean, and maybe she did like her privacy.
Yeah.
I don't know. But just remember my voice telling you, please make sure someone knows your plans, who you're going with, where you're going, what and when you're doing it. Just be safe and cautious.
Exactly. Yeah. You always have to let somebody know. Oh, that just, it's so sad because a lot of people don't have the courage to break out of an abusive relationship. She had the courage. She had the willpower. She got out. And then, like you said, she saw the warning signs and she had the courage to say, look, I'm not going down another road where I'm in a bad situation again. Right. And this happens to her.
Yeah. Yeah. But also, I mean, she had a backup plan for her son. Like, if something happens to me.
That is just...
like, it's a premonition or something. I don't know, but...
she was probably on edge. I guess we do. I mean...
probably. Maybe.
I mean, you get this guy fixated on her. That's... how scary of a thought to know that you could just be a regular old gal and... somebody will fixate on you to the point where they will not let you go, just no matter what.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and the sister even said, like, and you hear it all the time, you don't think this is going to happen to you or your family. And she's like, we were just a normal family. Like, Sonia was just a normal girl.
Yeah.
And, or woman, I should say. But just be careful. Be careful and cautious. And I know this was a short case for y'all today, but I thought I would bring it to light just so that I could, you know, shine some light on social media, being catfished, you know.
Yeah.
Don't talk to people that you don't know or that don't, you don't have an actual friend that knows of this person.
It's so hard because this day and age... so many people are meeting each other online, going on dates, but I guess pick a public meetup, like meet for coffee,
yes,
meet
please.
You know, I personally like to keep a very dulled down approach to my looks. So like when I go in public, I make sure that nobody wants to kidnap me. Nobody is going to fixate on me. Like, I just like to keep a low profile in that way.
Right, right.
Sonia couldn't help but being so beautiful and amazing. Like, she just couldn't help it.
Oh, no, she was, she really was beautiful, and we'll post her picture, but,
I mean, wow.
I mean, you got your hair in a mom bun, and...
psh, I got a cold sore on my face. I've got yesterday's mascara on. You know, the list goes on. My pits smell like onions. You know, I'm really sexy. Yeah.
I remember when I was young being told, you know, be careful how you dress. Like, the way you dress can be appealing to someone. And is it an article of clothing that's going to be easy to access certain things? And so it's sad that we have to... think about those things.
Well, and these days they tell you that women can wear whatever they want because it's the man's problem if they want to assault her, which it is. I mean, it is a man's problem. But, you know, there's a degree of...
of enticing.
Modesty. Just tell people where you're going. That's it.
Yeah.
Wear a short skirt. Wear a halter. But just tell people where you're going.
Yeah.
Be safe.
And hide your kids.
Yeah. Oh, Sonia. Rest in peace.
Well,
thank you.
This
Lena.
Was great. Are we going to do it next week?
Yeah. Let's do it next week.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Okay. Let's do it. Bye.
Bye, y'all. Well, thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. If you're enjoying our podcast, please leave us a 5-star rating so that other true crime fans can find us.
If you have any case suggestions or just want to say hey, email us at cousinsoncrime@gmail.com. And be sure to follow us on Instagram where we post case photos and information at Cousins on Crime Podcast.